You want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. New year is at hand, and we are thankful for the new year our Lord's given us, and He knows what lies ahead, and may He help us to do and pursue and be what He'd have us to be. Something about considering the first Sunday of this year and the message that the Lord had me to bring this morning, the Lord just really laid upon my heart about the light and the dawning and such as that. And so that's a genesis for this message, and Lord willing, look to have some other messages and just consideration here that our Lord has given. In Luke chapter 1, we want to pick it up in verse number 67. Luke chapter 1, verse number 67. Zechariah has been silent for 9 months, and his wife, who was past childbearing at the command of the Lord and the word of the Lord by his angel, has conceived and brought forth a son. And I tell you what, our brother is excited. The Lord has answered their prayers. The Lord has used them and chosen them to use them to bring about His prophet. And Zechariah here begins to prophesy. They've had a debate there amongst the family about what the child's name would be, and Zechariah made it clear, he had conveyed it to Elizabeth, that the child's name would be John, that is John the Baptist. And the family marveled because there was nobody in their family by that name. But see, that was of the Lord. His name is John. Brother Zechariah wrote down on the tablet. And his tongue was loosed, and he prophesied. We read this here in Luke chapter 1, verse number 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child," speaking to John, he's a babe, just been born, "and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. We come here to verse number 78, and that's our text verse and our launching verse, if you will, for this message this morning. He prophesies that through the tender mercy of our God, whereby, by Him, by God, the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. The day spring. The day spring. We take a look at this word in the Greek, and synonyms for this word day spring are east. What is it that you think about in the east? Also a synonym is the dawn. What is it when you think about dawn? The rising of the sun, the rising light. Through the tender mercy of our God, he declares, whereby the day spring, the light, the beginning, the light shining hath from on high from on high, he's from God, he is God, has visited us. After a night, especially when it's cold in the winter and the sun begins to rise, I tell you what, it's good to be able to see and the darkness of night go away by virtue of the sun rising, isn't it? It's good to feel the heat from the sun and the warmth from the sun. You know, that and the design of the Lord in creating this earth, the sun, the coming up of the sun has got promise for a new day, doesn't it? Without the sun, nothing can grow. Without the sun, nothing ultimately can live. And our brother refers here that this, by the tender mercy of God, the day spring, the rising light from on high, not just the light of our sun that we see here in our little spot in the universe, but the rising light, the day spring from on high, has visited us. What's he say? What's the purpose of this day spring? To give light to them that sit in darkness. And that's where we sit. Naturally, mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, the descendants of Adam, we indeed do sit in darkness. When darkness comes on, what do? At night, we've got the lights on in the house and the electricity goes off. You begin to be careful, don't you? Because you don't want to stumble over something. You don't want to trip over something. You don't want to run into something. We have that fear of tripping and falling over something and hurting ourselves or hurting someone else. It very well may be. I remember days gone by where those when the electricity would go out. And I tell you what, out here, when the electricity goes out, it goes out all over. It's dark outside. But when the dusk of dawn lights go out, it's dark in Olmsted, unless the moon's shining. Out here in the country, there are many in days gone by when the lights would go out, they would just sit down. Wait for the lights to come back on. Sit down and visit. He said to give light to them that sit in darkness, that's us, and sit in the shadow of death. We've got that shadow of death coming over us and that darkness of the shadow of death. And you know what? The day spring from on high, he's given light. He's given light to us, to we that sit in darkness and sit under the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The message this morning, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. As we've read in the scriptures, and I'm sure you have too, and as I have over the course of the years, I've not thought about this as I should have, and thinking about, and maybe it's not been the case with you, but with me it has, to understand the emphasis of the scripture in this statement that Jesus is the light of the world. My thinking is along this line, or has been, that Jesus is the best light that there is in the world. That there's other lights, and Jesus is just the best of them. But understand what the scripture is saying is that Jesus is the light. A little bit more emphasis on the word the. Kind of like he's the Savior of the world. Our thinking would immediately rush that he's the Savior of all men, but we know that that's not the case just by the history and the scripture. You figure Cain was saved? You figure Pharaoh was saved? And others that we could mention, wicked kings of wicked nations, they were not saved. They didn't look to the Lord, trust in the Lord. But rather than Jesus being the Savior of the world and all-encompassing and every person without question, it's rather speaking about of the list of Saviors. He's the only one on the list. He is the only Savior of the world. If anybody's ever saved, it's only by Jesus Christ. And understand this, folks, when it comes to that of light, Jesus is the only light in the world, too. We mentioned and made mention at the jail the other night and had a great service. Gave out all the papers that we took. We had well over 49 people, men and women, come. Gave out several Bibles. I'm thankful for the way the Lord's helped and blessed in that. You pray that the Lord would work. I mentioned to them that Jesus is the light of the world. Nobody can see. We are in darkness. And without Jesus, there will be no seeing. There will be no light. Jesus is the only light of the world. In Luke chapter 2, we come over here and our Lord Jesus is taken by Mary and Joseph. We pick it up here in verse number 22. According to the law of Moses, there was an offering that was to be given. And in Luke chapter 21, let's read here. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, as was commanded, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification, I think some several weeks, 30 days, 28 days, something like that, according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, dedication of the child. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the Savior, the help and the hope, waiting for the day spring. He was waiting there, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Savior, the Lord's Messiah. No doubt he had heard of many that were of men and insurrectionists and so-called supposed redeemers and maybe even those that might claim to be so, but he was looking for the one, the only one. God's Savior. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I can go on and die, Lord, and go on to be with you now. What an attitude. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Do you hear that? As he held the child, he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation's in a man. Salvation's in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is salvation. Not anything that you and I conjure up, not religion, not creed, not purpose, not doctrine, not dogma. He says, I've seen your salvation. Right here, wrapped up in this little bundle. Right here, this baby, this month-old baby. I have seen thy salvation in the Savior, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Listen to what he says. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The day spring. And praise be to God. Listen to what Simeon the Jew says. Listen to what he says. He says, I've seen your salvation. You've prepared him before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Our brother declares it there by the Spirit of God. He is going to be the Savior of the Gentiles too. Praise be to God that we have a light, the light. The Lord Jesus Christ. And what's he say? A light to lighten the Gentiles, and a light, if you will, to lighten the glory of thy people Israel. He's a light unto his nation, isn't he? He's a light unto the Jews. He is the Savior of all. It goes on to say here, and Joseph and his mother marveled at all those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And indeed, that's what the Word does. It reveals the thoughts of hearts, doesn't it? And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The light of the Gentiles, the light of the glory of thy people Israel. You know, the saints and the children of God from Adam and the patriarchs, the nation of Israel, the Lord even in this day, in this church age, and those that he has saved of the Gentiles, to all those our Lord is indeed the light. He is the only light, and he is our light. We come over to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, a hallmark passage, if you're saved, you should know about this passage indeed, about Jesus. Brother John, the apostle, writing here, and he kicks off his gospel with these words. In John chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And understand, don't let those that look to pervert the Word of God make you or cause you to think that Jesus is a God. He is God. He is divine. He is one of the Trinity. He is God Himself come in the flesh. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." We find He's the Creator. "And without Him was not anything made that was made." It's all been made by Him. Verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." That's interesting that that's worded that way, isn't it? In Him was life. In Him indeed is life. And that life is the light of men. For anybody to really see, the light of Jesus is going to have to shine into them. For anyone to be able to really understand about God, about themselves, and about sin, and about eternity, the light of Jesus is going to have to shine. And you know what? When the light of Jesus shines, just because of the nature of the Lord, when His light shines, it brings life. Because see, we're in darkness naturally. And you know what abides in darkness? We read it earlier. The shadow of death. Mankind naturally has nothing but death to look forward to. We're born dying. And in and of ourselves and in our spirit, if you will, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We need this light. We need this life that is our Lord, this light of men. It goes on to say in verse 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now that's what happens. Whoa, what's that? What is that? "The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 6, "And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness." For what? To bear witness of the light. It's his name. The light is the Lord Jesus' name. See that capital L there in your Bible? John came preaching and said, you need to look to the light. You need the light. You need the life that he alone can give. You need the light. "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe through the light." The light comes, the Lord comes, and he shines his light, his radiance on all things, and causes there to be understanding, causes there to be the establishment of truth, is it causes it to be established what is the lie, what is the necessity. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the only light of the world. And John bore witness of him. Why? That all through him might believe. You know, believe in the light. Believe because of the light. Believe everything that the light shines and shows forth. You need the light. You need the light. Verse number 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Verse 8. John was not that light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, making it very clear. Remember how they asked John, they began to muse, was John maybe the Messiah? Because of his preaching and what he came doing, the difference that there was in John. And John told them, said, I'm not him. He said, there's one coming after me that's preferred before me. I point you to him. He's the light. Verse 9, that was the true light, Jesus, that John has testified of. Listen, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's not talking about the light going to light up every man that comes into the world. I guess there is a sense in that, because in judgment, everyone will see the truth. But what for sure it's saying is that if you're going to be illuminated, it's only going to be by Jesus. It's only going to be by Jesus, because he's the only light. See, there's not a half a dozen lights. There's only one light. The rest of it is darkness. The rest of it is darkness and against the light of the Lord. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He made it, he created it, and came, and was rejected by his world. He came into his own, the nation of Israel, and his own received him not. But listen, because of the light, there's help, there's hope, there's salvation. But as many as received him, remember the babe that Simeon was holding? I've seen thy salvation. But as many as received him, not a doctrine, not a denomination, but a Savior. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Salvation is indeed of the Lord. You receive Christ. You repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. He tells here and gives more clarity to it, that are not born of this world, that are not born of our daddies, our granddaddies, or those of the world, but born of God, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The light of the world is Jesus. He's the one that illuminates men. We come to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and the Lord's dealing with folks here. The woman taken in adultery has been brought to the Lord. They forgot one important part. They didn't bring the man. The respecter of persons. They despise this woman, and they're willing to take and just use her to pursue their own agenda with the Lord and look to try to confound him and embarrass him and such as that. But their cousin, uncle, brother, father, whoever it was that was there with her, they didn't bring him, as the law declared. And the Lord took and tore up their whole case. Our Lord, good Lord, was merciful unto this woman. And listen in verse number 12 what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He's the only light. You pursue any other thing, what you've got is darkness. Well, Brother Jim, we've got a good lighting at my house or where I work or where I play or where I goof off. I can see just very well. No, see, we're talking about the spiritual. The Scripture is talking about the eternal. The Lord is speaking about the light that is needed to see about the heart. And the Lord dealing with these men that brought in this woman. It said there when the Lord said, well, you guys, if you're not without sin, and I believe what the Lord is saying there, if you're not without error in this matter, you say you're following the law, you've brought her, you've thrown her down here before me, Jesus has been writing on the ground. What's he been writing? I believe, well, he's been writing what the law says. They both should have been brought. You that are without sin, you that are without error in this case, you say you're so just, you cast the first stone at her. They knew they were guilty. They knew they were a respecter of persons. The Lord shined the light on it. It says there by their own conscience, they went out, what, from the oldest to the youngest. The Lord says, if you're going to have any light in your world, it's going to have to be by me. I'm the light of the world. I am the only light in the world. The Lord shined the light on this case, didn't he? He says here, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Life is found in him. Light is found in him. As John declared it earlier, he is the life, and that life is the light, which is Jesus Christ. He says, me, me. You know, our Lord doesn't point to his church here, does he? And the church is good, and the church is important. The church is the body of Christ. But the Lord says, you need me, because I'm the only source of light. I'm the only source of eternal light. The Lord makes it very clear that the worst that there is, we mentioned that here recently, the worst that there is spiritual blindness. Oh, we've got light at home, got light at work, got light outside. We've got all kinds of light. Brother Jim, I don't have any problem seeing anything. What about your heart? What about that factory of sin within you? What do you see about that? Do you see how you justify yourself, or do you see what the Lord says about it? You need the light. You need the light. We need the light of the Lord. I am the light of the world. He's very definitive in that, isn't he? The light of the world. Only he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You know what that means? If you don't want to stumble into darkness, you need to follow Christ. You need to follow him. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. But you know what? By following Christ, you'll have the light of life. He is the light and the life. In chapter 9, we come over here. John writes a lot about this, and it's very interesting. In John chapter 9, verse number 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Remember this? And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Are you ready for the works of God to be made manifest in you? Are you willing to yield to the Lord in every whit of your existence that the works of God be made manifest in you? Or do you want to take your life and live it for yourself? I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Verse 4. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again, here he says, as long as I'm... Oh, no. He's gone. He's in heaven. He's with the Father at the right hand of the Father. Does that mean that we have no light? No. No, while he was in the world, indeed he did shine. And he said here, he did the works of the Father that sent him, didn't he? And what was that? Well, just as an aside, consider this. Lord Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And as long as he's in the world, he's the light of the world. And he came and was here for 33 years. And indeed, he did shine. You know what? Jesus is still the light of the world. We, his children and his church, are his body. He's still shining. He's still shining through us. He's not here physically with us in the world, but we as His children are here in the world. Are you shining for your Lord? Do you see about His light and reflect His light to this lost and dying world? Oh, Brother Jim, I don't know about that. Well, just listen to what the Lord says. Matthew chapter 5. Let's take a look over here. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. Matthew 5:13, Sermon on the Mount. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You know what? You can't make salt salty unless it's salty of itself. Okay? It is thenceforth good for nothing. See, salt stands alone. It's the only thing that is salty, salt. And if it's not salty, then you can't go over here and get something else to make it salty. It stands alone. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast down and be trodden under the foot of men. Are you saved? You're called to be salty. Ye are the light of the world. Ah! A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That doesn't make sense to light a candle and put it under a basket, does it? No. Candles are lit, but to put on a candlestick. And I believe indeed that's a reference of us here in His church. The Lord's children, saved, and in our context, in His church. And what's that candlestick do with those candles burning on it? It giveth light unto all that are in the house. What's He say? So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, obedience to the Lord, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because the light is still shining. It'll be shining until our Lord takes us out of here. Are we shining well? I pray the Lord help us in 2017 at Olmsted Baptist Church that we would shine well for our Lord. To know that He is shining, and the design is that He would shine through us. We come to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and verse number 44. John chapter 12, verse number 44. And Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on Him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth Him that sent me. The Father and the Son are a package deal. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Verse number 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's what Jesus did when He came the first time. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Hear the word of the Lord. How is it that a commandment comes across? By words. And what the Lord has said, He means, and He means what He says, and you and I are to hear it. I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. He is the light of the world. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and we'll look to take a look at his account here and messages to come. But we come to chapter 26 of the book of Acts. And the Apostle Paul is telling about here before Agrippa when the Lord saved him. And here he quotes the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a wonderful passage here. And we'll just touch on this, what Jesus said regarding this subject this morning. And Acts chapter 26, as Paul stands before Agrippa, he recites what the Lord Jesus says in verse number 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" After he was struck down, he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which will appear unto thee," what's going to be coming, "delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Verse 18. Listen. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." The Lord Jesus Christ has told Paul there on that road to Damascus, and Paul declares the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we focus on here this morning is this in verse 18. He's sending Paul to preach Jesus that their eyes might be opened to turn them from darkness to light. The light. The Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is the only one that there's salvation, the only one in whom there's forgiveness of sins, the only one that shines brightly from eternity through eternity, to open their eyes. See, without light, you can't see with your eyeball, can you? And you know what? Without the light of the Lord Jesus, the only light that there is, you can't see spiritually either. But with the light of the Lord, you can see, hear what the Lord says. Hear His Word. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light. And listen, to turn them from the power of Satan. See, that's what's in the darkness, is the power of Satan. The depravity of man. Who in their right mind would want the darkness? There's nothing but death and destruction and misery and woe and an end there. A terrible end. And the Lord says He's sending Paul to preach Jesus that their eyes might be turned from darkness to light, might be turned from the power of Satan, that darkness, unto God. The Lord Jesus shines the radiance of our Lord, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by faith. What's He say? That is in me. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Do you deny that? You know, are you waiting for something to happen? Are you waiting for some sign from the Lord? Hear the word of the Lord and what He says. He says, have faith in Him. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. Surrender to Him. He goes on to say here in this chapter, Paul, after reciting this, what the Lord had quoting what the Lord had said, verse number 22, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that He should be first, that He should be the first, and that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles, to the Jews and to us. This light of our Lord has shined." In Malachi, this was what got me thinking about this message and messages to come. We read in Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, in conclusion, these verses. Our Lord tells about what He's going to do at the end. He gives prophecy concerning how He's going to wrap up this world and wrap up this age and things at the end times. And in chapter 4 of Malachi, the Scripture says in verse 1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven." Now, are you ready for that? And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, the Lord says, shall be stubble. They won't be able to stand before the Lord because His brightness and His glory will shine and they will burn up. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. There will be no ability to stand. Why? Listen to this. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Another name of our Lord Jesus. I tell you what, you look at the sun's hot. You look at the sun for very long, you'll damage your eyes. And how many millions of miles away it is, and yet we're able to feel that sun when it comes up in the east. We'll feel it in the spring and the summer fairly immediately as it comes up. It'll make a car hot, won't it? Even in the winter, if your car, your vehicle is facing the east and it's got that frost on it, that sun coming up will take, and from so far away, will melt that frost off of your vehicle. Make the dew that's on the field go ahead and evaporate and go back up into the atmosphere. I tell you what, the Son of Righteousness is a salvation to sinners that receive Him, and the light that shines, that is Him. You know what? The Son of Righteousness also is a condemnation and a judge to those that reject Him and His Word. Jesus is the light of the world.